You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A recent report suggests that agencies designed to aid Māori women in unsafe relationships can actually contribute to further entrapment, as Māori women report often feeling alienated and discriminated against while accessing care. In New Zealand, partner violence is estimated to affect 1 in 3 women, while for Māori women, the prevalence could be seen as high as 80%. Director of Tupua Waiora Center for Māori Health Research, Denise Wilson, conducted a report studying the processes and strategies Māori women use to keep themselves safe in unsafe partner relationships. She spoke with 28 wahine Māori, hearing about their personal experiences surviving domestic violence and reaching out to the systems that are intended to help them find a level of safety. I spoke with Denise Wilson on her research and studied it by asking her what kind of issues these women face when they are trying to access services.
Yeah, well, systemic entrapment, or the role of the system in trapping women, we know in the area of family violence that partners have a role in trapping women into relationships through coercive control strategies. But probably equally, if not bigger, role with the system. The services and the agencies have. So the biggest role is the fear that women have that if they ask for help, their children will be taken. And for many, this was a reality. So 11 of the women talked about having sifs or oranga tamariki in their lives, and 8 have had their children taken from them, and 5 were still trying to get them back today, and a couple of them had had their children removed for life. So and this was despite some of them remedying their situation but still having links with their partner because of the whakapapa links of their children, and trying to maintain that relationship with between the children and the father. They felt that they had a responsibility in that. But just that simple thing of that if I ask for help, somebody might take my kids. And that was across all the women talked about that. So that's a real issue. The other thing was the fear of that if I go and ask for help, I'm going to get judged, I'm going to get treated poorly. In some cases, women talked about getting treated in racist ways. And then the other dimensions are coming across people who are ineffective in responding to their requests or inquiries for help. And effective services, so not getting their needs met. And this is quite an important thing, that most of these women didn't have access to money or much of it, and so if they left, it meant that they would leave with no money, no home, and so they felt that given the choice, that they were better to stay where they were because at least their children had a home over their heads, you know, a roof over their heads, and they'd be in beds at night and they'd be able to feed them.
Mm. Would you say systemically these women are being backed into a corner?
Oh, definitely. Some of them talked about being between a rock and a hard place, and so having to make very hard decisions, and bearing in mind that none of these women went into the relationship where their partner was violent, and it was okay for a while, and they had no reason to suspect it would unfold into violence as time went on. So, and it started with a little bit of emotional abuse, and then that, you know, gradually over time, increased to some psychological abuse, control and what have you. So, yeah, given that they saw the potential in their partners and that they just needed to be strong because they had their own story and healing journeys that needed to occur.
I might just jump back to something you spoke on before in terms of the kinds of behaviors that these women were confronted by, whether that was judgment or racism. Could you speak more on the kinds of behaviors that we're seeing in care providers?
So the woman talked about things like, you know, being treated like second-class citizens, being based on their appearances, bearing in mind for some of these women, they had access to very few resources, so that affected the way in which they dressed sometimes. One woman very clearly talked about being very whakamaa presenting, having bruises and things like that, only to be treated badly. What we found quite astounding was, when we looked across all the interviews, was that these women felt less vulnerable in their relationships where there was violence, but when they had to ask for help and let other people into their lives, whether it was services or people from agencies, they felt exceedingly vulnerable.
How much do you think the media representation of Maori families actually plays into the treatment of Maori women accessing care?
We've got a master's student at the moment who's just writing up her master's thesis, and she's looked specifically at this as an interviewed woman around their perceptions of how the media portrays Maori women and the influence that then has on them help seeking, and it definitely has an impact. So that constant negative portrayal of Maori women, that's an imbalance to seeing positive portrayals of Maori women. So we see more negative portrayals, and that I guess reinforces some of the general stigma and stereotypes that sit around Maori women and these women that were interviewed for that small study definitely took on board the stigma associated with how they're portrayed in the media.
One of the last things I want to touch on is, in your report, you mention reinforcing the need for relevant and meaningful healing pathways. What do those actually look like?
So what we found was the importance of culture, well, what we've termed in the report is culture is cure. So with both the women and the men that we interviewed, engaging with Kaupapa Māori services was a very positive thing for them. It helped strengthen their cultural identity about who they were.